Good morning. I hope you're having a wonderful Friday so far. You're listening to the Husky Nation News Show on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. We've got the University of Connecticut's Need to Know News, thanks to UConn's own newspaper, The Daily Campus, and UConn's student-run TV station, UCTV. I'm your host, LJ Karam. Let's take a stroll down Fairfield Way. We begin our news coverage this week with a WHUS piece on the UConn Rainbow Center's celebration of National Coming Out Day. This story was covered by WHUS's news director and my part-time mom, Daniela Doncel. On October 11th, award-winning poet and educator Alok Vaid Menon gave an eye-opening and inspiring performance to commemorate National Coming Out Day for the UConn Rainbow Center. The performance consisted of four spoken word poems about Vaid Menon's experience being someone who is non-gender conforming, as well as critiques of social, cultural, and ethnic norms as they relate to the LGBT plus community. Vaid Menon spoke at length about the misconceptions some people have about what it means to be LGBT plus and living in what are thought to be liberal, progressive urban areas. They called attention to issues that those who are transgender and gender non-conforming face that other members of the LGBT plus community do not fully experience and do not always call attention to. Vaid Menon also shared a look at their gender identity through the lens of culture and ethnicity. As an Indian American, they noted that Indian culture, as well as other Black, Brown, and Indigenous cultures, do not have binary ideologies or binary pronouns in their languages. Rainbow Center Program Coordinator Julia Anderson welcomed this, saying that, "We get very particular, regimented storylines about what coming out is." Next up, we have a story that might finally convince you to use that Fitbit your mom got you for Christmas last year. Grace Burns covered this piece for the Daily Campus. New health research authored by UConn professors found evidence that using mobile exercise tracking apps could have a beneficial effect on your overall health. The study was led by UConn communication professors Ann Oldoff Hirsch and John Christensen, as well as Penn State professor Andrew High. It discovered that interaction between users using app mHealth in the form of positive comments, relaying encouragement and affirmation were crucial in increasing overall health. However, just the act of letting everyone know you've reached your 10,000 steps for the day isn't solely enough to make you a healthier person. You would need to build upon these accomplishments. Professor Ann Oldoff Hirsch hopes to go even further into investigating other types of interventions and programs that can motivate people to improve their lifestyles and make healthier decisions. Now, we have a story on a new major available for students. No, it's not puppetry. We already have that. Come on. It's the study of Arabic and Islamic civilizations offered by the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. UCTV News anchor Christina Carretero reports that students can begin declaring this major in May 2019. She says students will be able to learn the Arabic language and explore classical Islamic civilization, culture, literature, as well as the modern Arab world. She says Arabic is a language spoken between 200 million people in 22 countries. Last but not least, we have a story on the beautiful sight across the street that greets me every morning when I walk out of my apartment building. No, I'm not talking about the UConn Health Dental Clinic. I mean Farmhouse Crepes. The Storrs Center Crepe Restaurant celebrated its one-year anniversary this week. Ashley Anglizano reported on it for the Daily Campus. After overcoming obstacles in its first months of business, Farmhouse Crepes has become a small, successful business. The owner and operator of this unique eatery is UConn senior student and economics major Taj Anthony Jean. He said that opening the restaurant has been the most exhilarating experience of his life so far. Early on in December 2017, the restaurant faced issues concerning the smoke and ventilation of the burners used to make the crepes, but these were quickly and efficiently resolved right after winter break. October's crepe of the month is the Oreo crepe, and Jean wants customers to keep an eye out for a few big promotions happening soon. Farmhouse Crepes also posts weekly specials and discounts on its social media accounts. Now, before our break, we've got an audio clip of WHUS's Kate Ariano speaking about growing loneliness in the age of social media.
Today's generation is always plugged in, but come to find out, we are lonelier than ever.
I am so happy to be here, and I love the theme, Connection is Prevention.
Dr. Julianne Holt Lunstead is a professor of psychology and neuroscience who speaks to the imminent danger loneliness poses for adults across the country. She shared her insight with the University of Connecticut community on Thursday, October 11, in the Dodd Research Center. She talked to UConn students and faculty about the harmful effects that social disconnection can have on an individual. She also presented potential solutions to the problem of chronic loneliness, as described by Fortune. Holt Lunstead says it's commonly said that disconnection is as bad for your health as smoking. She says, just like we need fresh food and clean water to survive, we need a good quality of relationships as well. With it, she says, social connection can lead to a 50% reduction in risk for mortality. One of the UConn professors in attendance of the lecture was Dr. Yifra Kaminar, whose teachings over at the UConn School of Medicine in Farmington focus heavily on substance use disorders in adolescents.
And unfortunately, we see increase in depression rates, you know, suicidality is going up, as well as all kind of other epidemics, such as obesity, the opiate epidemic, the cocaine epidemic. And there most probably is some connectivity or association, not necessarily causation, between all this increase in prevalence of this.
To Holt Lunstead, the way to treat social disconnection starts by educating people, especially government officials. She says we need to lay the ground rules for what a healthy quality and quantity of social connection looks like. She calls this the consensus guidelines for social connection. Holt Lunstead also proposes what the National Academy of Medicine, formerly known as the Institute of Medicine, has recommended in the past, incorporating information about each individual person's social connection into their electronic health records. Small moments of connection is the last piece of advice that Holt Lunstead has for the community.
And that it's our everyday little actions that have a cumulative effect on our overall long-term health.
In greater prioritization of the importance of healthy social connection in people's lives, we can better treat those who are suffering from loneliness and the effects of prolonged isolation. Based on Holt Lunstead's observations, our disconnection problem cannot be solved in a day, but by recognizing the magnitude of the issue, she says we can make small steps towards a common goal, a healthy connection with the world around us. For WHUS News, I'm Kate Ariano.
Stay tuned after the break for the discussion portion of the show, where I've got a very cool, very dope friend in the studio with me. We might be wearing matching outfits.
Wild woman, don't get the blues, but I find that...
Hi, I'm Mitski from Brooklyn, New York. You're listening to WHUS 91.7 Stores.
We are back. As promised, we are going to be moving on to our discussion segment, but as a disclaimer, please note that from this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this Husky Nation News broadcast are those of the hosts and the guests, and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. All right, that was loud. Joining me today is someone who knows the importance of sunscreen.
Oh, yeah.
Someone I consistently beat at Quiplash. And someone who still needs to get his flu shot. My friend, and the guy you wish was your friend, Matt Vaughn.
Hello.
What's up?
Hey, everybody.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well today. Yeah.
It's good to hear. Sorry, ask how I am.
How are you? How are you doing?
Just... peachy keen.
Yeah.
So, I know you, but the people listening to the broadcast don't know you.
They do not. Most likely they do not.
So, Where are you from, Matthew?
I am originally from Northern Ireland, which is a country attached to Ireland, just for those who aren't aware. We're a little different. We talk a little different. I don't talk like sing-songy Southern Irish. So you'll get used to that.
You got vowels that start in the back of your mouth?
Yeah, I don't know where they start. Somewhere.
They start somewhere. They have no ending. So did you fly in just to say hi? Or are you like, why are you here, Matt?
Why am I here? I'm here just for a visit for a year. Official. I'm here. I'm going to do research. I'm going to make a lot of friends. I'm going to have fun.
My heart.
I'm going to experience the United States.
You're going to see a lot of dogs?
I'm going to see a lot of dogs. Mm-hmm.
We've seen a lot of dogs so far already. Mm-hmm. So explain to me this, like, oh, first of all, where do you study? Like, where's your school?
My school?
Yeah.
I don't actually study in Ireland yet. I study in Scotland in Edinburgh University, which is beautiful. I would recommend visiting, definitely.
All right, it's on the bucket list. It's behind Machu Picchu, though. I really like Machu Picchu. I like the concept of their architecture.
What?
Their agrarian architecture. So how did you go about selecting UConn for your, like, exchange study abroad schooling thing?
Okay, so the process began. I get to choose what country I apply to, actually. So I chose the States, obviously. My partner actually lives in the States, so that was a big factor.
Oh, your partner, that's so cute. That's so cute.
We're a mature couple, okay? It's been a few years.
That's so cute.
So I decided I'd come over for a year just to do some study abroad. And I was really excited to come to the States. I had a few options. I applied for Chicago, obviously UConn. I also applied to Alicante in Spain. That was a dream.
To go back to your roots?
My roots, my home roots.
Explain what that means.
Oh, yeah, okay. So just a wee snippet of my life story. I grew up in Spain for 9-10 years. I miss those days, definitely. Miss that sun.
Yeah, he's very fluent in Spanish. I can attest to this. I've heard him sing Gasolina at the bar several times.
See?
Okay, so when you thought about UConn, like applying to UConn, mm-hmm. What was your first assumption about UConn? Was it like a basketball thing?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know much about UConn, and I actually only met two students that went to UConn while I was at Edinburgh.
Was one of them Jeff?
Thank God, no. So I met two of them, and they really recommended it, obviously. And I was like, what's the best things about UConn? And everybody, even the customs patrol, border patrol officer said the women's basketball team is the thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I like sports, so, you know, it's nice. It seems like a nice option in the northeast as well. Like, I really like that sort of cool environment, you know. I'm not used to that southern. I've been to the south, and it's that heat just gets me. That sun.
And the racism.
And the racism, yeah. That gets me after.
I said the disclaimer. It's okay for me to say that. So, have you, like, previous to coming to UConn, did you make any, like, visits to the Northeast? Like,
No. So, I mean, I flew into New York a few times and D.C., but that's as north as I went. Yeah, well, they're beautiful cities.
Well, so you're going to get punished by the cold, so.
Oh, yeah.
It was cold today.
I'm ready.
It was cold today. It was like 30 degrees outside.
30, what's out Celsius?
I think it's about six. Sure. Yeah,
fine.
I have no idea.
Pretty cool.
I have no idea. It's pretty cold, so. We've already talked about your winter coat preparations in case it snows. Okay. So, looking forward to women's basketball season.
Definitely. And men's.
And men's, but I mean, like.
But, yeah.
Women's basketball
the
is
special
where
season.
Then.
Yes.
That's
what I'm here for.
I don't want to say the elderly community, but, like, the community of like 50 plus years old people like come out in droves for women's basketball.
Wow.
Like, old people really love women's basketball.
That's amazing. That's good to have.
And I don't know why. It's not that it's like not cool. Like, women's basketball isn't cool. It's just like, why this target demographic?
Yeah, yeah. You don't really get that anywhere else.
No, you don't. Like, squash? Is that an... Not like the vegetable, like the game?
The sport.
Bridge?
Oh, the old people?
Old people, like, key words. Is this ageist?
No.
Okay.
No, we're saying good things about them.
Are we? Okay. Cold weather, women's basketball.
Yeah.
Did you know that this school was in the middle of nowhere?
I was told it was quite a rural area. I wasn't told how difficult it would be to get around. So I feel a bit landlocked, but it's nice enough. I did find out that you don't have to leave stores to enjoy yourself or have a good time. So.
That's so precious and wholesome. I love it. I love that concept. So, you mentioned before that you were here for a full year.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people, all the people I know who have gone from UConn to study abroad are only there for a semester, and they have to like prep like a year or two in advance. So, how long did you have to prep for this?
So, when I actually applied for my university degree to go to the university, I applied for a year abroad degree, so that was already included, so I was expecting to go abroad anyways. So I had time to prep, but the actual prep for organizing the trip and all that, that was stressful. It was a stressful summer, but
yeah,
I got it done, and I'm here for a full year. A lot of people in my university go away for a full year. We don't really get semesters.
Most of it, or all of them, are like that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But no, I'm excited. I'm excited to be here for...
We said interesting at the same time. It's cool. So, you also said that you were here doing research, which is like not something that I knew you could do on study abroad. So like, doing research without taking courses, was that a special thing that they did just for you?
Not just for me, but our department back at our university does it, but the other departments don't. It's just an opportunity that was started between the heads of department, the chemistry department, between UConn and Edinburgh, and they also do it with a few
fancy
universities around Europe and stuff. And so I'm here to do actual research. I don't go to any classes. I don't have exams.
I know.
I don't have assignments. I have a paper to write at the end of the year and a presentation. But I'm just working 9 to 5 in a chemistry lab. So that's good fun. Yeah.
Nice.
Make some chemicals and stuff.
Chemicals?
Chemicals.
Chemicles? So the topic of research that you're doing, was that something that you... Did they tell you what you were going to be doing the research on prior? Or
no,
you just came here and you were like, ta-da?
Yeah, I had a choice of what research group I wanted to like join and start working with. But I didn't actually get to choose my own research.
Okay.
If that makes sense. I just tagged along a PhD student, basically.
Okay. Oh my gosh, you and my other friend who's a chemistry person who's doing his PhD, shout out Mike Joyce. You could have just like been in his group or something. I don't know I don't know how their stuff works
Definitely.
Though. So you still have to meet him. It's
you need to introduce me.
He's busy. He's doing his PhD in chemistry. He's busy.
Yeah, those people are busy.
So what is your research on?
I mean, how specific do you want to go? Okay. I can just tell you, like, the field it's in.
Because you said, you told me before that it was, like, material stuff?
No?
I don't know.
Really, no.
Well, you told me that it was because... I can't believe... Side argument. Beryl, my friend Beryl, is doing material science engineering.
That's right.
So I was like, oh, this is a...
I do something similar.
Okay, so explain.
She also uses
organic chemistry. Tell me. Tell me. I'm listening. I'm fully receptive.
Okay, so I am researching synthetic organic chemistry.
Cool.
So it's,
I meant that genuinely. No, seriously, keep going.
I don't expect you to. It's okay. But yeah, it's making synthetic roots for chemicals, basically.
Organic chemicals. Oh, yeah. That was so loud.
Wow. Yeah, I'm dead.
I was like genuinely excited. My dad's a biochemist. I don't think I told you that before.
You have told me.
Yeah, he's a biochemist. So
yeah,
my whole life.
You're surrounded by chemistry.
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that. A lot of microscopes in my home. That's not like specifically. It's more of like a biology thing. My dad loves slides.
Yeah. I've seen those. Yeah.
He had when he taught in Lebanon, he had like these jars of. I think they were like human fetuses, like preserved like in formaldehyde.
Yeah.
Like in Lebanon, in our attic. Oh yeah, my dad's a science man.
Yeah. Don't want to get that mixed up with a jar of pickles. Sorry.
Gross. Okay. So now that you've talked about your research, you talked about the academics. Put that stuff aside.
That's what people want to hear.
What do you think of the people at UConn? That like New Englander attitude. I don't know if you've picked up on it. There's a lot of quarter zip sweatshirts around here.
Okay. I don't know. I didn't know what to expect.
Okay.
And so
just nothing.
Nothing.
Wow.
Yeah, but like people have been so friendly. Everyone I've met, most cases. Yeah. No,
most cases. Except for LJ, she sucks.
No, it's been great. I really like just all of it. The people, the food.
The food.
I'm not gonna lie.
No, you're gonna have
chicken wings. You don't
have chicken wings in Edinburgh?
I mean you can get them, but it's not like a thing.
Oh my god.
You don't have chicken wing restaurants. In the UK, like there, you'd find maybe like a few, but
wow. So there's no wings over Edinburgh.
And there's like three here, so
please propose an expansion deal. Wings over Edinburgh.
Wings over Edinburgh.
Wait, so the people, the food. We're gonna come back to that because that's very interesting to me. Okay. People, food. What else? Scenery.
Scenery. Yeah. I've been up Horse Barn Hill a few times. I did the yoga up there.
You did yoga.
I did the yoga. Yeah, I'm not that flexible, but I managed. It was fun.
Wow.
I was there for the sunset more than anything.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. No, it's really.
Not the cramps.
It's very pretty. Did you see the cows? It was, I don't know.
But yeah, they started mooing like halfway through the session. And like she was trying to relax everybody. And there's just these grunting cows in the background. That was really funny.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to tell you something about the cows.
Okay.
So UConn has like one of the best dairy herds like in the country.
Oh, yeah.
Like their cows are incredible, apparently.
Oh, like the breed or whatever?
Yeah, they like, I don't know if it's, I was about to say, I don't know if it's for meat or dairy, but I just said that they're known for their dairy herd.
Yeah.
So it's the
dairy. I've had the ice cream.
Yeah, so it's the ice cream, the cheese. They sell cheese at the dairy bar, but it's like not on like a 24/7 basis either. Like maybe you gotta like order it.
Oh.
Or
pre-order your cheese.
Maybe it's a season. I don't know. I've not had like pure dairy bar cow milk though. Just the ice cream.
Oh.
And so because the dairy herd is so good, they get access to like a lot of really good like federal funding for new fancy cool things.
Oh.
So there was an article on like UConn Today. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No.
UConn Today.
No.
It's like where we talk about like, because it's a research university, I think they just like talk a lot about like research programs like happening at the school.
Okay.
They installed this like robotic milking device in the dairy barn.
Oh.
Have you heard of it, or are you just saying, oh, okay?
No, it's weird, but like my like great uncle, he has a farm in Derry, so Derry, Northern Ireland.
Not dairy. Just D E
D-E-R-R-Y. Yeah, sorry. Derry, Londonderry.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he has a robotic camel.
He has
camel,
a farm,
you
and
think?
he did get one of those robotic ones I heard from my mom a while back. So
yeah, they,
I'm aware of them.
Well, so like so there's a difference between like the, because they also have the robotic, like the milky things.
Yeah, the suction.
For those of you who aren't in the studio, I'm demonstrating milking a cow.
Yeah, it's special.
Thanks. So they have those, but they're integrated into this new machine. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the cows are hooked up to the milking thingy 24/7, or that like they have like a milking time. They've like done away with milking time. And I mean that as in like they've done away with scheduled milking time. So the cows can step into this like machine and decide like when they want to be milked. Like they can just be like, it's milking time, and they just like walk in and they get milked. And science,
so
like, does
the
whole thing.
And milk themselves.
They don't milk themselves. The machine still does it, but they, like, decide when they want to be milked.
Okay.
It... Has science gone too far?
No. No. I don't think so.
Do you believe in, like... Because I know that dogs, when I talk to other people about this, people are like, dogs care more about, like, having a structured schedule. So if you integrate something like choosing your own milking time, like, into, like,
a dog's...
Not, like, milking time for dogs, but, like, if... What? You, like, give dogs, like, a choice?
Oh.
Like, you know, it's like, oh, it's feet, it's, like, time for the dog,
like,
to eat.
Eat whenever it wants.
If you, like, have your dog decide when your dog wants to eat...
That's not good.
That's not good.
Yeah.
So... Like, do the cows benefit from this? Is their psyche, like, improved? Do they have time for other hobbies? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I feel like you definitely get more milk out of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're more comfortable?
Well, no, I feel like the cows are producing milk, and whenever, you know, they're full of milk, they can empty it.
Okay. All right. So, next question. All right. So, food, scenery, people. Was there anything that, I guess anything like really surprised you? Was it the wings?
That's what I was excited for.
Oh, excited for. Okay. Yeah. So, like, not shocked, because shocked has like a negative connotation.
Yeah.
What, like, you came to UConn, you were just like, what?
Pleasantly surprised.
Like, what made you... What was that reaction for?
I would just say the campus itself, like the layout of the buildings, how they look, the grass, obviously.
The grass!
Well, that has to be appreciated. I've heard how much goes into that.
The UConn grass.
How much money.
Oh, yeah. And as you can see, it's like all grayish.
Yeah.
It's not even gray, it's grayish.
Grayish.
It's like a cross between gray and yellow and brown.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah. It's sad. But, so, I already told you about how I know about the cows.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you want to know about the school? I'm saying that like you wanted to know the information about the cows.
Yeah, no, I heard, well, recently they started a new bus line, okay?
Ooh, hot topic!
The brown one, the depot campus.
Okay.
What is the depot campus? Where is that?
Oh my god,
what
this
is
only
this?
One of my favorite things to talk about, okay.
Why does the bus go all the way out there?
There's a lot of layers to this. Okay.
Where are you gonna start?
So, that line isn't technically new.
Okay.
It existed like 2 years ago, and it was like Purple Line, but it wasn't a specifically dedicated depot line. It was that Purple Line would go to depot campus. And then they like did away with it because the only thing on depot campus besides the abandoned mental hospital.
Oh my.
Yeah, okay. Right? Is like there's just like really old administrative buildings. So like Depot Campus is like old UConn.
Yeah.
Not all of it is old UConn. Like, but so it's like half academic and like administrative buildings like now, and then a lot of it is also land from the state of Connecticut that was like turned over to the university, and that land had like a mental institution on it, among other things. The mental institution is like the biggest point of. Like reference for people because they're like, ooh, scary, spooky skeletons.
Yeah. Oh, we should go there on Halloween.
We can't.
What?
The cops watch it 24/7.
Wait,
because kids try to sneak in there all the time, and because the building is so old and like dilapidated, it's like a brick building, but it's like boarded up on the inside and kind of on the outside, like the windows and stuff. It has a huge mold problem. So if you walk in, you could just like fall through the floor, like at any given moment. It's like a first person, like horror video game. Like, that's a thing. But I've seen pictures of like the inside. There's like turned over, like askew old style wheelchairs. There's like patient, like therapy drawings, like patient, like little cars, like typed out. Very spooky. But so Depot Campus also is a location of the puppetry program. You know about the puppetry program, right? You have to.
No, I hate puppets. I'm terrified.
You hate puppets. Oh my god, we're at 22 minutes. I can't believe I don't have time to talk about the puppets. Or Edie.
Or Edie.
God! I told you to prep for this? Wow. Puppets are a very UConn thing. UConn is like one of only two schools in the country that offers a major on puppetry. The other one is like in the South somewhere. I think it's like in Virginia. Right? Yeah, weird. It's like in Virginia.
How many people attend that? Like,
how many people are puppetry majors?
Yeah.
Do you really want to know?
Probably not. It's like, probably going to be obscene.
It's like eight.
Oh, okay.
You thought it was a lot?
Yeah, I was scared it was going to be a lot of people.
No, it's like eight.
Yeah, no, that makes
sense. Eight people. And it's like undergrads, though. So, and I think there's like two or three grads. Wait, no, actually, there might be more grad students than there are undergrads. I can't remember who I was talking to about this. I don't want to provide like inaccurate information. I didn't even actually know there was a graduate program until I had that like conversation with somebody. But all the other like renowned puppetry universities are like in Europe. Like there's apparently like a really good one in like maybe like Prague or something.
Yeah, no, we're weird back home.
But yeah, we have a puppetry museum. It's in Store Center.
I've seen that. Yeah.
We need to go.
No. No.
Oh, right.
You're terrified.
That was disrespectful of me. I'm sorry.
I've heard it's great. If you're into that, definitely go.
Wait, okay, I have a question. Before we end, I have a, like a really quick question.
Okay, hit me.
Does your fear of like puppets extend to like costumes? Not costumes of people like dressed as puppets, but like Jonathan, like the mascot, not the dog, like the person in the dog costume. Like
not that sort. Like the more realistic looking,
okay,
sort of humanoid things, like, you know, like,
so like the more real the puppet looks, the more scared you
porcelain are. Like dolls or puppets or clowns, like
I hate
just
clowns.
Things are,
I
like
hate clowns.
Slightly off. Like a real person, or just like,
okay, but like not Elmo. You're not like afraid of Elmo, are you?
No.
Oh,
no.
Thank God.
No, they're cute.
Aw, yeah. No, we're big into Muppet culture here. Not at UConn. Maybe at UConn. I don't know. In America.
Oh, in America. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm aware.
As he takes a sip of water, I'm aware of your
aware
Muppet
of your
obsession.
Weird obsessions.
All right. So I think that's where we're going to end for today.
Yeah, that was over 20 minutes.
Oh, definitely over 20 minutes. It's like 25, but you know what?
You can cut stuff out.
Yeah. So, thank you for being on my show, Matt.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for saving my life, because I didn't know who to ask. I was like, you know what?
I'm happy to do
Matt.
It.
Matt. So, I'm going to do a shout-out to the Daily Campus and UCTV for collaborating with us, and a big shout-out to Ethan Smith, the creator of our intro music. I've been your host, LJ Karam, and today I found out that I have a problem when it comes to impulse buying candles. You're listening to WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. Signing off for now. Have a wonderful weekend.